This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A federal jury awarded more than $470 million to six neighbors of a hog farm operation in Pender County, North Carolina. The neighbors said excessive smells, noise, flies, and pests like buzzards affected their ability to use their property. This is the third and largest hog nuisance verdict in a series of suits against pork producer Murphy Brown, which is owned by parent company Smithfield Foods. Michelle Nolan is a clinical professor of law at Duke University and supervising attorney for the school's Environmental Law and Policy Clinic, and she attended some of the trial and joins us now. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You did attend some of these trials, at least this one. Tell us what you witnessed. What did you see in this trial?
I saw in both instances they were witnesses for Smithfield Foods testify. One was a vice president of operations and I believe communications, and the other was the director of our state's permitting program for livestock operations.
How does it go? Do the defendant or the plaintiffs in this case just sort of lay out how bad it is? And I'm just wondering what the arguments back and forth are in this case.
Well, at the beginning of the trial, the plaintiffs will put on their witnesses, often including testimony from the plaintiffs themselves about the conditions that they live in. There'll be evidence put on about that, other factors of the case that the plaintiffs want to put forward, and then the defense comes and, of course, defends their position. And in this instance, there were efforts by Smithfield to both distance themselves from responsibility for things happening on the individual operations and also an attempt to show that the state's permitting program was sufficient to address any concerns that the plaintiffs might have had.
I guess that's part of my question. Do they argue, does Smithfield, for instance, argue, no, it's not really that bad, or do they say, yes, that bad, but actually we're doing everything according to law, so...
A little of both. First off, it's not that bad. And then secondly, whatever effects there are, we're following all the laws, and so therefore there's no issue.
Jury didn't agree. $472 million. Are you surprised at that dollar amount?
Not really, considering how difficult the lives are for the people who live in those conditions as neighbors of some of these operations. And after listening to the trial testimony, it also didn't surprise me that the jury.
And what are these conditions? I mean, we call it a nuisance lawsuit, but it's more than just a sort of a nasty little nuisance. It's making it almost impossible to use their land, right?
Yes. I mean, they can live in their homes, but they can't open the windows and enjoy a fresh breeze. They can't, enjoy a barbecue. They can't have their kids running around in the yards. In many instances, they can't sit on their front porch and watch the world go by. Partly that's because of the smell. Partly it's because of hordes of flies and mosquitoes. And I'm not talking about your little pesky flies, you know, that visit every backyard picnic, but, you know, flocks. Swarms of flies and mosquitoes, and occasionally the drift of the spray guns will come over and coat the property, and if you're not careful, land on you. And that, of course, consists of feces and urine that are being sprayed by these very large hydraulic spray guns around the property.
Now, hog production is very important to the economy of the state of North Carolina. We saw dozens of state politicians along with agriculture officials at a forum on Friday. They are raising concerns that these lawsuits might have put a damper on economic activity in the state of North Carolina.
Well, and I think that that's a lot of hyperbole, and it's a very dangerous game those politicians are playing in whipping up those types of fears. These are complaints that have been going on since the industry began to expand. It's not unique to North Carolina. It's not even unique to the United States, where operations of this magnitude and using these practices exist. What is true is that in this particular instance, plaintiffs are finally prevailing in these lawsuits. And it's understandable, I guess, that people would be concerned about what this means. But agriculture isn't going away. Hog farming isn't going away. bacon production and pork chops are not going away. And so it's a lot of hyperbole, and it's a very dangerous vocabulary and narrative that they're spreading.
And the fact is, there are abatement practices and technologies available to make this, at least if not go away, reduce some of the damage. It's already out there, right?
Of course. And Smithfield Foods owns the patents to some of that technology. It's been installed on all of their corporate-owned farms in Missouri. There are similar systems that have been employed in other countries and other parts of this country, of the United States, where slurry is produced by animal production and stored in this way.
All right. So that's a little bit of what's going on here. The juries are saying, look, you've got the possibility to make this less awful than it is. Let's start doing that. But what will happen? Because we know that in the state of North Carolina, awards like this are capped, right? We said $472 million, but the plaintiffs won't see that.
Correct. There is a cap on punitive damages. Those are damages that a jury will assess when they think that a company has been acting in bad faith with willful and wanton disregard of the other party's rights. That's on the statutes. That finding has to be made before punitive damages can be awarded. But those damages are then capped at $250,000 per plaintiff. And that's been the law in North Carolina since sometime in the mid to late 1990s.
Why are we seeing the spate of lawsuits now? As you say, this problem is not at all new, but we're seeing this is three in 1 year.
Right. So there have been nuisance claims and lawsuits filed against both poultry, turkey, and hog production in North Carolina since this method of production became predominant in the 70s and 80s. There are a number of lawsuits that have been filed. And over the years, the legislature, whenever there's been an award in favor of the plaintiffs, the legislature has gone back and kind of nipped and tucked at the right to farm law to make these suits more difficult to file, more difficult for plaintiffs to prevail. And so you have a lot of power dynamics that take place also in these rural communities. Sometimes people can't find a lawyer who is willing to take on an important industry player, regardless of the circumstances. Sometimes those law firms don't have the human resources and financial resources to be able to take on an opponent of this scale. And so there have been these complaints and concerns and lawsuits filed over the last 30 years. This is the first time that there has been an aggregate. And in this instance, many of these cases have been filed in 2013, 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it was a decision of the judge or decision of the parties collectively with the judge. But anyway, the decision was to aggregate these claims and try them in series. And so that's why we have them stacked up as they are now.
And we should be clear, it's not the same as a class action lawsuit.
Correct.
It's just they lumped a bunch of individuals. And this is individual landowners against large corporations and huge industries. So just to be clear what the dynamics, these aren't small hog operations, small hog farmers being put out of business by a $470 million
lawsuit.
No,
and indeed, that's one of the big differences in this series of lawsuits is that the defendant in these cases is Smithfield Foods, which is the hog production division of the international conglomerate WH Group based in China. So there is no individual farmer who is being sued by these landowners. They are going after the corporation because of the significant control that they exercise over the animals, the waste facilities, the feed, the antibiotics. Everything that goes into the operation of the farm is dictated by contract by this corporation. And so that's why the focus is on the corporation and not on the individual farms.
So what happens going forward now? There are, again, we have a cap on this particular judgment award made by the jury, but also there are appeals, right? This can't be appealed by Smithfield. We assume they will.
Correct. I believe the protocol in this case is that the appeals will also be aggregated and go up to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which sits in Richmond, at the conclusion of all the trials. Typically, what you see in a series of lawsuits like this is that you'll have, you know, a few test cases that come forward. The plaintiffs will select, as they did in this case, their best case going forward. That was the first one. The defendants choose their best case, which is the second one. Maybe you have another case. here we had a third one. And then at that point, the parties will come together. They'll see patterns. They'll see weaknesses and strengths in each other's cases. And they'll come to some sort of agreement in the form of a settlement to conserve the judicial resources and save everybody a lot of money and time and headache and uncertainty moving forward. The rhetoric in this situation, though, has been much different. And you have, it's very unfortunate that you have politicians out there calling for the company to hold firm and not settle, even if it is in the company's best interest. So it's very difficult to say what will happen here. This is not a typical situation.
Well, it's interesting, too, because these technologies that we're talking about may in some cases be efficiencies that the company could possibly realize. But if you're going to stand fast as the politicians, large corporations against individual landowners, as our legislators are calling for, they could be robbing themselves of an opportunity to save a little money.
Correct. And in fact, that's what we see happening in other parts of the world and in other parts of the United States where lagoons are being capped. The methane is being collected. Some of the extra materials being stripped off, and then that methane is being compressed and used as a form of natural gas, either to provide electricity on the farm or, in the case of Missouri, being injected into the natural gas grid to the national pipeline and be able to provide carbon offsets, reduction of greenhouse gases, reduction of other types of nuisances that neighbors experience.
Michelle Nolan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Michelle Nolan is a clinical professor of law at Duke University and supervising attorney for the school's Environmental Law and Policy Clinic. More lawsuits about state legislation coming up on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.